Thank you, choir. I wasn't sure what you were going to do following last Sunday's anthem. Yeah, and you picked one of my favorite hymns ever, so thank you very much for that. You followed it up very well. We continue our series, God Loves Surprises, and He's funny. Today, a surprising change of plans. You might be surprised how many plan changes there actually are in the scripture I'm going to read. There are a lot. But before we do that, I know, it's something different. I can't help it. A couple of you have either emailed me or spoken to me directly about God's surprises this week. Did anybody have a God surprise they want to share? Come on, somebody had to have a God surprise. Robert. Yay. Not only did you see it, but you went back and pointed out that that was a God moment. Well played. Anybody else? Rach. What was the t-shirt? Oh, Disney. Okay. We're going to find out that brief little things are very big deals in the God kingdom. Michael.
I was with a friend of mine the other day, and we were on our way to do some work. And I looked at him, and something just wasn't right. So I just sat there to take some water. And all of a sudden, he just started shaking. And I said, this is not right. So I ran up to the clinic and told him that he needed to take this guy to the ER. Left side is partially paralyzed. His speech is slurred. But he's somewhat normal, but he's not his usual self. So he's on medication and everything. So I was just kind of glad that, hey, my sister was on the phone to walk me through this process, because I just ran up to the ER and said, stroke. And he immediately.
They're really good there. They're really, really good with that. Michael, that is a great God surprise. Funny, when we go places that God wants us to be, look what happens. God stuff happens. There's one back here, and I can't even see who it is.
Trial last week, and a couple things happened.
goes out. That's a God surprise. Wow. Kirby, did you want to say something? I thought maybe I saw your hand go up.
No, I was...
Got it.
That... John.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. Mine, Sunday last after church, Steve Hong, who's the pastor of the Korean church, reminded me that a long time ago I said I'd preach for his church, and it's today. So not only am I trying to figure out how to write a sermon series for us, I ended up having to write a second sermon this week. The newsletter Jan Fraser keeps reminding me was due on Wednesday. I had to get ready for session, and I'm sitting there on Tuesday afternoon, and it's just kind of rising and rising, and my heart's pounding, and I said, wait a minute, what did I just preach on a couple days ago? He's got this. God's got this. And everything came back down, and I have a sermon for you. This morning, we're going to take a look at a surprise meeting between Paul and some of the folks with him, Silas, Timothy, and most likely Luke, and a woman whose name is Lydia. At first glance, we might even wonder why such a teeny-weeny little story about Lydia, who is not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible, even makes it into the book of Acts because of all the spectacular and dramatic surprise stories that are in there. That's our first surprise. I think we will come to realize the story is not quite as small as we think. Takeaways from this morning. I thought of another one, so I'm going to use that first. This will be zero. No fear. We don't need to. No fear. First one, which is really the second one. When we begin a journey for God, where we end up may not have anything to do with where we started. Second, rather than waiting on God for direction, let us be about doing God's will now. And then we can trust He will surprise us with an unexpected change of plans as many times as He needs to get us where He wants us to do kingdom work for His sake. Third, even a seemingly small act for God's sake can move mountains and shake entire communities. And fourth, the changing of one heart is a very, very big deal in the kingdom of God. So in the previous verses, we find this group had tried to enter into an area called Asia in order to preach the gospel. However, the Holy Spirit told them not to. So they continued north through the areas known as Phrygia and Galatia. When they got near Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia. And again, the Spirit said no. Man, that's a mouthful. They then passed Mysia to the city of Troas, a port city on the Mediterranean Sea. It is here that we pick up the story. Scripture today comes from Acts 16, 9 through 15. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight. I'm going to work on this one. It's an island that's almost to where they're going, and they go straight to it, and it is Samothraki. Samothraki. I'm going to ask you about Samothraki next week. See if anybody was really listening. And then they went on to Neapolis the next day. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gates to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia. She was a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Another surprise. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Father God, as we unpack these surprise changes of plans, continue to transform us into your surprise people. People who live in faith and have come to expect the unexpected from you. Amen. Now, before we get to the actual meeting itself, I think we can learn something from Paul that's really important, and it has to do with his actions and their journey that ended up in Macedonia. We almost get the impression that Paul's a little lost, not really sure where to go. Remember, this is a man who, once he became a follower of Christ, was a monster force focused on preaching the gospel, planting churches, shepherding Christians. And now suddenly, he's unsure of where to go. Have you ever felt that way? I know I have. Thank you. Thank you. Life's moving right along. Everything's in its place just the way we want it. Relationships are great. Work is good. Money is good. Health is good. Ain't life grand? Until it isn't. Then we feel lost, uncertain, fearful. Don't know where to turn, don't know what to do, don't know where to go. The last time I was in a place like that, when I woke up in the morning, I didn't want to get out of bed. I just simply wanted to pull the covers over my head and hope to go back to sleep so I didn't have to think about the pit in my stomach, the constant worry, the longing for the life we used to have. Sound familiar? I suspect we've all been there at different times in our lives. However, as we discovered last week with the disciples, Paul too has been surprised by God so often he has come to expect the unexpected. He never needs to pull the covers over his head and stay in bed. It's because he's not afraid. He knows there is a for sure God surprise coming. He doesn't know when, because it's God timing and not his timing. But then again, that's why we call it a surprise, isn't it? And that's why Paul never sat back and waited for God to give him instructions. God almost always surprised Paul when he was on one of his journeys. This trip, he was on the way to Asia when the Spirit said no. Surprise, Paul, a change of plans. Then he was on the way to Bithynia, and God again said no. surprised Paul another change of plans. When they got to Troas, he finally got their traveling papers. Surprise, folks, you're all going to Macedonia. If we look back at the God surprises in our own lives, have we been surprised enough? Have we seen the unexpected enough that we too can have the same confidence Paul does in our unpredictable God? Some days I say, absolutely, yes, I've seen enough. And then there are other days, well, maybe not so much. You might say the same. You might say, no, I have not seen enough yet. Or maybe I have, but I'm just not sure. It doesn't really matter. I'd like to suggest that no matter where we are on the confidence level, we, you and me, I suggest we start doing what we think God's will is for us now. And then let's trust that He will tell us what to do while we're on the way. You know, maybe God never gives us more direction and more information than we need. And until we start moving in a direction, there's really no need for God to correct where we're going. Who knows? Because we are intentionally looking for God's surprises during this series, perhaps we will discover we've been surrounded by them all along. We just did not recognize them as such. What a confidence in God. What a confidence in God boost that would be. Rick Brand, in one of his sermons, said of the chairman of the board of IBM that he once said that the best way to mess up a problem is to do nothing. At least get up and do something. You have to turn the wheel and see which way the car goes. Then you can make some decisions and fix it. If you do nothing, nothing will get better. In our context, perhaps God is waiting for us to head out for Bithynia. So then call us to our own Macedonias. Individually, I can't tell you what your journey looks like, although I know a lot of you well enough that I can guess pretty well. But for us as a church family, what might our Macedonia look like? This is one for you, Jack. Perhaps one of our journeys together is us getting on board with Presbytery's plans for what church is going to be 20 or 30 years from now. Barbara Irwin, Dorothy Ng, and I are meeting with head presbyter Ken Baker tomorrow, specifically to learn what those plans are. Tuesday night, I will be with a whole bunch of other folks at Presbytery voting on that proposal. You're more than welcome to come with us. 6 o'clock at First Press Burbank. 6:30 maybe, I don't know. If you cannot join us for that, please pray for us as we vote, that we vote with wisdom, discernment, and compassion. Now to the meeting. The apostles went beyond the city gates by the river where they thought there was a place to pray. Since Philippi was a Roman colony, there probably were not enough Jews actually living there to warrant a permanent place of worship. When they arrived, they found Lydia and other women with her, and not the man in Paul's vision that got them here in the first place. Surprise, Paul. Another change of plans. He begins speaking to these women. Kind of a surprise in and of itself, given the culture of the day. Now God opens Lydia's heart to Paul's message, and she believed it. Surprise, Lydia, another change of plans. We know she is a strong businesswoman dealing in purple cloth, because only the very wealthy could afford it. Surprise on us. Lydia is a woman of means without a man in her life being mentioned. Once she becomes a believer, she makes the choice to be baptized and have her entire household do the same. Surprise, Lydia and household. Another change of plans. By becoming a Jesus follower, she is thought to have been the first Christian convert in all of Europe. I kind of wonder if God did that on purpose. Surprise! I think He probably did. I think this small surprise story in Acts is there because it is truly not small after all. It is here to remind us that God has always worked to change the world one heart at a time. She, just like the rest of us, has a choice of whether to listen and follow God's word the first time she hears it. And she does open her heart and her home to the gospel. In her, God ignites a new spark in Macedonia. Who knows what will happen in her hometown because of her? Or for that matter, who knows what will happen in all of Europe because of her? One person. I close with a final story. And yes, this one's true, just like last Sunday's was. Michael Bilister, a traveling pastor, if you will, visited a small town in Poland in the late 1930s, shortly before World War II began. He met a man in the village and gave him a single Bible. The man read it and was converted to faith in Christ. He then passed the Bible on to others who were also converted, until 200 people had become believers through that one Bible. When Bilister returned to the town in 1940, this group of Christians met together for a worship service in which Bilister was supposed to preach the word. He thought about it. He was going to do some testimonies from the people, and then he changed it up and said, "I'd like you to recite some scripture verses and just share those." And one man stood up and asked, "Perhaps we have misunderstood. Do you mean verses or chapters?" These villagers had not memorized simply a few Bible verses. They memorized whole chapters and whole books. 13 people knew Matthew, Luke, and half of Genesis. Another person had committed the Psalms to memory. This single copy of the Bible had borne fruit of hundreds and hundreds of lives changed. One little Bible. Our God is an unpredictable God. And one thing we can count on is that He will surprise us. When we get to where God wants us to be, and we're doing what God wants us to be doing, kingdom work happens. Kingdom work happens. The faithfulness of one person's life changed, one little Bible shared, One faithful risk taken for God can be a seemingly tiny, tiny change that surprisingly can shake the foundations of entire communities. You see, even one changed heart is a very, very, very big deal in God's kingdom. Amen. I lied in the bulletin.